Good afternoon. Today is Monday, April the 23rd, 116th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from, let's see, how do we position you guys? From our friends. How's that, huh? Is that going to work, Rick?
Sounds wonderful.
All right. From our friends at the North Coast United Air Quality Management District. No, that's not going to cut it. Okay. North Coast Air Quality. How's that?
That's wonderful.
There we go. Okay. We tighten things up. Get a little focus on it. Rick has got a really impressive sounding title that's also ominous. The Air Pollution Control Officer.
That's
so
right.
He's the guy that if you have any issues with pollution, it's his fault. Well, maybe not. We'll talk about what it is that he does do and what the primary function is of the air quality district. We've heard an awful lot about it, along with the water quality. You know they're out there. You know they're doing some stuff. What is it that they do? We'll find out when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Martin. But before we do, our quote is going to be one of our proverbs today. Huh. Do you like the Danish or the German? You have not heard the Danish one.
I have not.
You heard the German.
I did hear the German.
All right. So do you want to upgrade from the German?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so we'll take the Danish proverbs for 100. Aaron. Quote. Care and not fine stables makes a good horse. You upgraded nicely.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Easy.
Passed my first test, didn't I?
Yeah. You semi-passed. Good deal. Rick, what is the basic functional elements of the Air Quality Board?
If you broke it down to just one sentence, I would say that it's to protect and enhance the air quality in this particular instance in the North Coast.
Okay. It sounds pretty simple, pretty sublime.
It can be.
Is it?
Not always.
I would imagine with the change in the mills and some of the other structural economic things that have gone on, has that made air quality in our area easier to manage or more challenging?
I wouldn't necessarily say easier to manage. Whenever you close a source, it generally reduces air pollution. But there are other things that can come in and take its place depending on what's going on for a particular area. For the North Coast, we are very lucky to have pretty good air quality around here most of the days.
Well, being a local, it's tough to not have us as a reference point. Talk about, okay, the water quality is so great, and the air quality is so great. Okay, so when I travel, the water really is gross in a lot of areas, tastes funny, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's something that's pretty easy to follow. Air quality, okay, that's almost a subjective thing, I think, for you as an individual or me as an individual. How does the regular guy or gal grasp the concept of air quality?
It's a little bit more difficult than that. We have standards that have been set by the federal government and the state government that are equal throughout the entire country that all areas have to meet. Those standards are health protective standards for the general public. So EPA goes through on a regular basis every 5 years and reevaluates the existing standard to see if it needs to be changed.
So this is you're executing a federal mandate?
Some of them are federal and some of them are state and some of them are local. The whole point is to maintain the air quality and improve it where it's bad.
You go back into the 60s when we had the two pulp mills going, we had the TP burners. Boy, I just feel as if I walked through a time warp and lost about half the audience. Some of the historical uses in the area where you would see stuff on the windshield, you know, if the air was in the proper way and the fog was doing certain things and the breeze was going and the teepee burners were going, yeah, you get some stuff on the windshield and you wash out. Okay. Same with, again, I'm dating myself, playing Little League at Highland or at the other park. Yeah, you'd always smell. I mean, that was the smell of the economy.
That's true.
The sulfur, and that was it, and you could tell the wind direction. If those were functioning today at that level, with the standards the EPA currently has, and California and our weird standards in the state, how would that measure? What would that look like? Would you have the time to be here this afternoon?
Probably not. It would be a much larger office than what we have now, much more involvement, a lot of things that would have to be improved upon. It would be a big difference between the 1960s and 2012.
Could you have, could we have, two pulp mills running and not have a decrease in the air quality standard?
The overall answer to that is yes. It's where you can maintain both industry, commercial applications, and still have good air quality. So there are lots of equipment that can be put on stacks, sources, to help reduce the pollution that comes from there.
Like the scrubbers that they were putting on towards the end?
The scrubbers they were putting on Evergreen towards the end, absolutely. What devices called electrostatic precipitators or bag houses. A bag house is like you think of as a filter and a vacuum cleaner. The air moves through it and it knocks out all the little particles, and theoretically what comes out the other side is much cleaner.
Unless there's a rip in the bag. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:22. We'll keep him on his toes when we come back with more from Rick Martin.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:26. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Martin from the Northern California Air Quality District.
North Coast Air District.
Yes, you say district.
Yes.
Okay, we have all kinds of districts. How big is this district?
We're roughly the size of the country of Israel. We're about 8,000.
And you're in charge.
We're about 8,000 square miles. Yeah.
I suppose I'd have a slightly more austere attitude toward you, huh?
But it's Humboldt County, Del Norte County, and Trinity County, all three of those. 8,000 square miles.
So when you look at the air quality around, where'd you come from?
I came from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, so you're from the Midwest.
Right.
And they know how to burn their crops during the off-season. Okay. And you come here. And our crops really aren't burnt. Well, easy, no stereotypes. The way that they used to be, the slash burns,
right?
Things of that nature. Now we have the cogeneration plants and all that. When you compare the Midwest, your territory, to the West Coast, our territory, are there things in common?
Oh, very much so. And there are a lot of things that are different as well. And when you say our territory, the West Coast, I would say it would be important to divide that between the North Coast and South Coast.
Oh, no, I was saying our three-county area.
I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. Santa Rosa is not on the North Coast. Goodbye. You've not been here long enough yet, I can tell.
You know, I can tell you that there's no wildfires in Indianapolis, Indiana. I don't have to worry about those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't have no forest?
No, not
well,
much.
Well, not Indianapolis. Yeah. Right. I mean, in Indiana, though.
Indiana has some trees, but certainly none like these.
Okay.
We don't have logging companies in Indianapolis or even in Indiana that are of any significant size.
Right, but you got the farms.
We do.
That are stirring stuff up.
Yes, they do. And we have farms out here, too.
Right, yeah, the Central Valley.
Right.
Yeah.
So emissions from those farms are going to be similar out here as what they are in the Midwest. Probably the largest difference when you're looking at the North Coast from the Midwest, from Indianapolis, is the population and the amount of traffic.
And the density?
Yes. It's much lower here than it is in the Midwest.
Well, glad that we're not as dense as some areas. We just act that way, huh?
Yes.
When you look at the state of California, Rick, what are there any comparisons between us and, let's say, L.A., where smog was invented?
The standards that we have to meet are the same. Now, L.A. has gone beyond the federal standards and the state standards to set some that are much more stringent.
But are they achieving it?
No.
Well, that's
they're on
great
their
to
way,
have
though.
Standards.
Well, they're on their way. They're trying to improve. They can't put businesses out of business. That's not the intent. But it's to protect public health. And protecting public health can vary considerably on how you go about doing it and why you need to do it.
So what about like in the Bay Area where if you're in San Francisco County, great, no problem. You're on the spit. The wind blows, it goes down to San Jose, Santa Clara County gets it, thank you very much, our air quality's fine, thank you. is that a fair approach?
Not really. We have monitors out throughout the North Coast and the South Coast and the Bay Area and Sacramento, and we are all split up into smaller political subdivisions, if you will, different what are called air quality districts. There are 35 of them in the state of California. And all 35 of those have to meet the same standards federally, and they have to meet the same state standards. But each locality can have tighter standards if they believe that it's necessary to protect public health.
In the 7 years you've been here, have we ever not hit federal standards?
We are really worried about Weaverville right now, and we're looking at it for what's called PM 2.5.
Whoa. Only English is spoken in this room.
Particulate matter. And the 2.5 designates how big it is or how small it is in this case.
Just this time of the year? Or are you thinking if there's a fire this summer because of the general situation there that it could be an issue?
Both. We had the fires of 2008. We had some of the highest levels of particulate matter that we've ever measured anywhere.
Because of lack of air movement?
As a matter of fact, the North Coast had the worst air quality in the state of California on a few of those days. The lack of air movement, the intensity of the fires, where the fires were in relation to one another, where the fires were in relation to our monitoring sites. There's a lot that goes into it.
Does this mean you're in favor of forest management and selective harvesting?
I don't know. Is that
right.
a fair answer?
All right, for a Midwest kid, he's learning. He's learning. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Martin from the North Coast Unified Air Quality Management District. Did I get them all in there?
You got it in.
Even the air part.
Even cool. The air. Most people leave out Unified.
Well, it's right there on the card. Rick, the air quality, I think, is probably for a lot of us, it's like wine. We each have our own interpretation. We have our own opinions. We probably put our opinion a little bit higher than your opinion, you know, or whoever anybody else is, right?
I would agree. Okay.
And I think there seems to be a growing recognition that air quality is one thing that we benefit because of where we are. Not that there aren't industrial plants. We can argue that one, good, bad. But the fact that we're on the Pacific coast and the air currents are taking it away from us after we've had a big, long buffer of this ocean from anything that might be coming from Asia. Fair?
That's fair, but there are some pollutants that transport as far away as China.
How do you guys measure that stuff?
We have air monitoring stations set up where we actually pull the ambient air, the air around us, through a filter. And then we'll take that filter, and we have weighted beforehand, we have weighted afterwards, and we know how much air was pulled through it, and we can calculate the concentration.
Now, when you say weigh, it's probably not in pounds,
no,
ounces.
No.
How sensitive are these things?
They're very sensitive. We're talking about micrograms per cubic meter. We're talking about very small amounts and very sensitive units that we use to weigh these.
So what's in there? What do you see from the Asian continent that makes it this far?
Mostly particulate, sand from some of the big deserts. Very small particulate.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you got a little sand collection of the Sahara going in the office?
I wish it were that easy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, most of this you don't even see. When I was talking about PM2.5 earlier, what that means is particulate matter of size 2.5 microns. 2.5 microns is about the size of bacteria. So we're looking at stuff that you can't really see.
Do we react to it?
We do. That gets designated or deposited into the deep recesses of the lungs, and it can cause other illnesses, including cancer. You have cancer cells that form around it. So PM2.5.
One of these cumulative things?
It is, and it doesn't get expelled by the body very easily.
Now, how does that contrast to pollen and itchy eyes?
Pollen is much bigger in size, but pollen is something that causes a temporary effect, not necessarily a permanent.
Right, but we don't see it.
We don't.
We have a reaction to it.
We do.
It comes and it goes.
It does.
And it's from China.
Hey, it can
be. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Perhaps you're talking about the plant. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. When there's the big blow volcano activities, and we hear about this and we hear about that, is that the jet stream that moves most of that around the globe?
Those very small particles, yes. Those very small particles.
Yeah, the big ones are in trucks. I got that.
Yeah. The big ones fall out on your head.
Yeah.
But the stuff you see from the volcano is a perfect example. That's not the stuff that gets transported. I mean, it gets entrained up there eventually, but what you see is particulate matter from the volcano in extreme concentrations, but particulate matter.
So when they start talking about blackouts and whiteouts and things like that from volcano explosions and the impact on the environment, do you buy into that concept? Do you think it can get to that point? There could be enough stuff in the air, knowing what you know, that it could really take out a biosphere?
Well, I don't know. That's the best answer I can give you. I don't believe so. Mother Earth is wonderful at cleansing herself. However, there's a lot of things that get contributed to the atmosphere that can cause long-term significant problems. Volcanoes have been going off for thousands of years, millions of years, and they will probably continue to go. It's not something that we can control. So it happens.
Now, when we look at something like that, it's extraordinary.
It is.
When we look at fog, a lot more regular.
Yes.
Does fog in and of itself have issues that the Air District is concerned about?
Where we're located, being right on the coast, as the fog moves in from the ocean inland, it carries in particles of salt that are part of the ocean. And those particles of salt get deposited on things. A real heavy fog, I don't know if you've ever noticed in the morning, you go out after the sun comes out and dries everything off, and you have a little bit of a film on your windshield. And those salt particles are measured on our monitors. Those salt particles we breathe, but they're pretty much natural. And they're not going to cause anywhere near the significant impact as some of the stuff that are man-made and not natural particles.
So not to get away from fog, will the fog have different levels of salt or different sizes of salt based on different fog or different areas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it all depends. It can change depending on the current of the ocean. It moves things in. There are different levels of salt throughout. I mean, we assume that there's salt water in the ocean, which is correct, but it's different all over the place.
Based on the salinity of the ocean.
Absolutely.
When that contrasts with tule fog, like over in the valley.
Okay.
There's not an ocean influence on this one.
Right.
What is in that fog?
It's generally just water particles. That's what fog is by definition. It's just a cloud that's down at ground level. Now, if you have industrial sources or if you have even agricultural sources that are going during a foggy day, you can have different types of particles also entrained in that fog. So you could have particles of dirt and dust from the ground if somebody is plowing, or you can have whatever might be coming from a stack if somebody is polluting.
So not a binding, but it kind of can work in concert.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Times, 442. We'll be back with more from Rick Martin.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Martin from the North Coast Unified, because nobody says it, Unified, I'll say it twice, Air Quality Management District. Rick, a couple of quick things. We only have a couple minutes here. Carbon footprint.
Carbon footprint.
Regular guy.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? It means that carbon is used by many different things. We need by many different things. But how much is the actual amount that is can be, I guess, calculated is the best way to say it. How do you determine what it is, and then how does it change, and what changes it?
So carbon isn't necessarily you or me breathing.
When you say not necessarily.
Exclusively.
Oh, yes, no, that's correct.
Oh, I like that answer, huh?
Yes, no, that's correct.
Well, we use that one for the news, you betcha. Ozone. We heard about ozone holes all over the place. Then they started, instead of just expanding, they started shrinking, and then they were fluctuating. What's the status of the ozone layer?
For the ozone layer, it's better than it was quite a while ago. A lot of things have been man-made anyway in the United States, have been banned, and when that happens, then of course you don't have the degradation of the ozone layer. Of course, we're only looking at the United States. That's exactly right. We're only looking at the United States. We don't know what's going on in other countries. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, that sums it up.
Ozone at ground level is what we're really concerned about. And ozone at ground level is something that we monitor on a very regular basis. Ozone can cause all kinds of breathing difficulties, especially if you have children. Children respirate twice as fast as we do. The elderly has less of a chance of cleaning what may be brought into their lungs. So ozone at ground level is what we're concerned with. here in the North Coast, we really don't have much of an ozone problem because of our temperature, quite frankly. Our temperature here combined with volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides doesn't get high enough to form ozone. But in L.A. and in the Bay Area on the inland side, and in Sacramento and the General Valley, we can have a lot of ozone problems.
So that's what happens when it gets too hot?
Not necessarily too hot.
Or that sets up?
That's a trigger, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Below 70 degrees, you generally don't have too much of an ozone problem to worry about. When you start getting above 70, 75, 80, it can combine with other things and form ozone.
You mentioned that you guys now are the ones who handle the burn permits, that it's no longer the fire departments.
We are. Come to our office at 2300 Myrtle Avenue, and we'll be glad to issue you a burn permit. As a matter of fact, we encourage you to do that.
2300 for everybody's Glenwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glenwood, Myrtle, thank
there
you.
There you go. Yeah.
from a person who's around the area, right?
Too much GPS for you. Got to get you back off that just a tad. What is the biggest issue that we deal with in our area this time of the year involving air quality?
This time of the year, it would be burning. It would be people burning and burning from the United States Forest Service, along with some of the bigger industrial areas or people around here. There are some large pile burns and slash burning, understory burning. This is the time of year when burning can go on. When it gets hot, when the burn ban goes into effect, we can't have burning because it'll turn into, unfortunately, a wildfire.
Still have your hose around.
Yes, absolutely.
Hose it down.
Make sure you're not right next to your garage so your garage doesn't go up with you or your fence. Or make sure that the size of the pile is manageable. Make sure it's only vegetation that's grown on the premises. No paper, no trash, no garbage. All of those things are bad.
Well, the paper would be good to start it.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to
start
with
a match.
Start, do you?
Get a wooden match.
Fine. I'll be done. You'll be out there working the match. Thanks for coming by, Rick.
And of course, the hours. If you have a regular burn permit, then you have to stop by noon and
abide by the rules.
Yes, right. Abide by the rules.
We've been talking shop this afternoon, Martin. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and see you tomorrow.